Welcome to the LarryNFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Lannon. With warm weather finally descending on the Fishers area, it becomes a very busy season for the City Parks and Recreation Department. I talked with Fishers Park and Rec Director Tony Elliott during the morning of Thursday, May 17th. Tony and I talked about the amphitheater construction schedule, the new Spark Fishers Summer Festival, and much more. I'm at Holland Park in Fishers, and I'm with Tony Elliott, the director of the Parks and Recreation Department for the City of Fishers. So, Tony, always welcome to be on our program here today. It's always good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you very much.
Holland Park's a place where I have some wonderful memories. My twin daughters are now in their mid-20s, but our first house was just a few blocks from here in the Sunblessed Edition, and we spent a lot of time in this park, and that was before you redid the playground. So it's a much better place now than it was then.
Yeah, it's a busy place. There's a lot going on. I think the diversity of things you can do here, from just have a picnic to play on the playground, the athletic fields, programmed events as well, it attracts a lot of people. So it's a fun place to be, especially today.
Yeah, we're here on a Thursday morning, and this place is full of parents and preschoolers. It's a school day, so that's the crowd that's here, and this place is packed. It's just amazing that on a weekday that would happen. I want to talk about a number of things. First thing I'd like to talk about is the amphitheater renovation. That continues. As I understand it, the schedule, as you published it on your website, is to have the first stage show as part of Spark Fishers on June 29th. Is that still the plan?
So we've got a great team on the amphitheater project. Meyer Najem is our construction manager. Meyer's Construction is building the amphitheater in the design by ratio. And obviously we've got an awesome team within the City of Fishers led by DPW and then the Parks and Rec team as well. Collectively as a team, we've run into some challenges this spring and summer. We've had about 30 weather days that have delayed us a bit. So we won't open up the amphitheater for Spark Fishers weekend. However, we hope to have construction done by mid-July to late July, somewhere in there, and have the amphitheater open then.
That's interesting. So I guess that brings up a couple of other questions. I know that you've got a concert with John Waite National Act and Duke Tomato, a big regional act. You're going to have to put that on in the front of City Hall on the Central Green. What challenges will that be for you? Because that's likely to be a fairly big crowd.
Yeah, for sure. So the Tuesday concerts and the Friday concerts with John Waite being one of them, as you mentioned, extremely popular. The Tuesdays bring in, 5,000 plus people oftentimes. The Fridays will bring in 2,000 to 5,000. And so with that, we've got incredible and beautiful space, accessible space in front of City Hall, the south side of City Hall and the Central Green. So we've worked over the past couple months here with our public safety teams, public works teams, and we've got a really solid plan of action in place to utilize both the Central Green, the grass area, in the trees and kind of the landscaped areas, but also the road. So we'll close in entry and exit on Municipal Drive from 116th, but it'll create a really unique and frankly a much more shaded concert viewing space for the Tuesday and Friday shows. So we'll use that space until the amphitheater is open a little bit later this summer.
Okay, so how many people will you be able to fit into that particular space? Have you looked at that?
Yeah, we have in detail with our emergency management folks and the fire department, police department. And really, we can fit about the same amount of people as we can in the amphitheater lawn space. And so what you may see is people will use the space a bit differently. So it may be a little more concentrated or focused toward the stage, a little more dense, perhaps. Back in the lawn at the amphitheater, there's a place to throw the frisbee or throw the football. So I have a little bit less of that kind of play space, but the space certainly will accommodate the crowds as we've seen in the past.
So the acts are going to set up like on the porch of City Hall, where the up on the top of the steps there.
Correct. Yeah. Bob McCutcheon, our amphitheater guru extraordinaire, the professor of rock and roll. He's got us all set up with sound, AV lighting and stages, temporary stages that we'll build each Tuesday and Friday for each show.
Good. Well, that's interesting. So You also have announced something in recent weeks about what are called low-dose shows. That's a new thing for the amphitheater. These will come once the new amphitheater is done. I know you've announced one. You have one coming up. Explain how that whole thing works.
Yeah, so with the new venue, we'll have a lot of new capabilities. So number one, the stage in the new amphitheater is going to be larger, so we can accommodate more of a professional show. So more band gear, the things that bands really expect. The amphitheater, as we've had it until now, has been really a proof of concept. And we've been very fortunate that bands and agents have been willing to kind of work with us to squeeze bands and their gear up on what was a relatively shallow stage. So with these low-dose shows, we've got these acts coming in, Houndmouth, Mount Joy, Manchester Orchestra, later this summer. And those low-dose shows, it's kind of an experiment with this new venue to see how the venue can work or could work, what's the demand from the public for a paid show. So low-dose shows, just as it sounds, it's a $9.23 ticket fee. That's a little bit of a promotion or a tie to WTTS 92.3 is where that ticket price comes from. So this is the first time we've ticketed. And so far for the first show for Houndmouth, I think as of today, we've sold about 1,000 tickets already for
goodness,
that,
okay.
Which is great. So for a general admission show, that's a phenomenal number at this point. So it's kind of an experiment to see how this would work. Not to say that we're going to charge more in the future necessarily or provide more free shows or keep them at low-dose shows, but just trying to see what the interest would be and how it would change the experience in the venue. So want to keep it open and accessible to residents, and that's where that nominal fee comes in, $9.
Because I talked to Bob McCutcheon, and he had mentioned that was a new concept that was being discussed, but it also opens up a whole new range of acts that you could bring in. So $9.23, if you've been to a concert recently, that's a darn good price to pay, so it's very cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we think so. And you're exactly right. I think for a lot of our shows, we're fortunate to work with great sponsors, and we can offset the cost of a lot of shows. But charging a ticket fee helps do that even more.
So you think that most shows will still be free? There may be an occasional low-dose show or something in that concept in the future. Is that where you're looking ahead now?
I think that's right. Yeah, for the most part, I think at our core, the amphitheater, the Nickel Plate Amphitheater and Fisher's Parks, it's about community first, and we want it to be a community amphitheater. So we want the vast majority of all of our concerts there to be free, to be open, inclusive. For a couple of these that are higher dollar amounts to bring in these great quality bands, looking at ways to help offset those costs.
I want to move to the farmer's market. The farmer's market has always been right next to the stage. You've moved that over between the Braden Building and City Hall. Have you had to restrict the number of vendors, or are you still able to take in whomever, the same number you've had before?
Yeah, so the farmer's market this summer is kind of a street festival type of mm-hmm. feel. And so it's on Municipal Drive, as you mentioned, between police and City Hall. And it has been a huge success so far. In fact, a lot of our vendors love it so much just because of being on a hard surface and the accessibility of that for them, but for the attendees as well. It's going to be hard to get them to move back to the amphitheater, I think. But a lot of challenges going into that, logistics, load in, those type of things. But it's been a really good interim location, I think, from the attendee experience. Has been very positive, but also for the vendors as well. But I'll tell you that once the amphitheater is done, it's going to be just mind-blowingly beautiful. It's going to be incredible, and I think the vendors will be excited to go back to the amphitheater.
And I've talked to Bob McCutcheon already this year, and he's very excited about the sound system. He's worked with the city in making sure that for the money that you have to spend, you've got the best sound system possible. It wasn't a bad sound system before, but this takes it to a new level, I think, from what I'm hearing.
It does, and I think it's a smarter sound system too, if that makes sense. So rather than just having really loud speakers and blasting out a bunch of noise that may contribute to noise pollution, we said that we don't want to be able to hear a show at 106th Street or 96th Street. We'll have a smarter sound system that's really targeted where sound is being aimed and being distributed within the venue. So the sound quality will be better, but hopefully with less noise pollution outside of the Nickel Plate District as well.
I've already kind of touched on this a little bit. Let's talk about the Spark Fishers Festival. It's scheduled for Friday, June 29th, Saturday, June 30th. Just for your information, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it on the 29th because I'm walking my daughter down the aisle. We set the wedding date way before you set Spark Fishers, just so you know. But I have twin daughters. One was married 2 years ago, and my daughter Mary will be married that night. So I'm going to miss that. So what? I know there's been a big anticipation of what musical act you're going to have on Friday, June 29th. So can you tell us anything more about that?
Sure. Yeah, so the goal was to have the opening concert on the Friday, the 29th, at the amphitheater. Unfortunately, the amphitheater will not be done just yet. So we have a really great partnership with Saxony, and so we're going to host the opening concert on Friday, June 29th, out at Saxony near Witten Park, just east of Witten Park. The headliner for that is Sugar Ray, so the 90s legend Sugar Ray, led by Mark McGrath. And we've got a local opener as well, a gentleman named Ryan Allwert, who's the HSE Young Life director, formerly of Straight No Chaser, and a phenomenal musician. So he's got some new original music out, and we're excited for him to open up the Sugar Ray show.
So just to be clear, the concert for the 29th, which was to be at the amphitheater, because you've got the Spark Fishers Festival set up in the Central Green, you're moving that to the Saxony Park, correct?
That's correct.
And exactly where, how's that going to be set up at Saxony? Give us a words view of how that's going to be set up, how that would, you'd visualize that.
Yeah, so just east of Witten Park, there's a large grass field, soccer fields that they use at Saxony, and it's really just north of where Saxony holds their farmers market. So in that large grass lawn, we will build a stage, a large stage out there. The sound will project to the north, so up toward the highway, so we can accommodate several thousand people out there. Food trucks, a lot of the same amenities that you're used to at the amphitheater, we'll have on site. So really a beautiful venue. We'll treat it very much the same as an amphitheater type of show, so people can come out and bring their blankets, bring their chairs, those type of things, and enjoy Sugar Ray.
So talk about the Spark Fishers Festival. Your department is right at the heart of that. You have, I think, close to 100 people who have volunteered to help, and they're all on various committees. You have some big names in the city as a steering committee members. I've had a chance to talk to them a few months ago. So I'd like you to tell us, what can you tell us now about how that festival is moving forward, and any more details you can kind of fill the blanks in it to the extent you can as to what people can expect at that Spark Fishers Festival?
Yeah, I think the main thing that people can expect is it will feel like a microcosm of the city of Fishers in one day. So when you're there, you will experience Fishers, I think, in that one day. And that's our hope. If you're from Fishers or if you're from outside of Fishers, that it's reflective of who we are as a city. And so it starts in the morning with a 5K race that's co-hosted by the Geist Half Marathon and the YMCA. So great community partners. So we'll start off with the 5K that morning. Fishers Farmers Market will happen. That will be located actually in the library parking lot on Spark Fishers Morning. And then we'll have really a vendor village. So over 100 different vendors from around the community, food, drink vendors, local businesses, artists, artisans, a number of different vendor booths throughout the Nickel Plate District. And that will run from approximately 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. And then throughout the day, we'll have live entertainment. So throughout downtown, there will be buskers or different entertainment. I'm advocating for like flaming bowling pin jugglers. I'm not sure if that's going to pass from the insurance company, but as many kind of buskers or local entertainers as we can find, I think the better. We'll have two stages, the Star Stage and the Stripe Stage. And so on both of those, you'll have local entertainment, but also regional entertainment on those stages from a music perspective and performance perspective. But a little something for everybody. We'll have a teen area, a kids zone area, a big focus on inclusivity and accessibility. So, for example, we'll have sensory-friendly spaces as well throughout the Nickel Plate District. And then, of course, the night will end with a parade. The parade will be at 7 p.m. and will end at approximately 9 p.m. And then the night culminates with fireworks at approximately 10 p.m.
I know there was an effort to kind of make the parade just move right into the fireworks rather than having them separated. One clarification is, will you start on Friday morning? Or will, when exactly? So the 5K will be that Friday or Saturday morning?
Really, everything is Saturday.
Okay.
So the 5K, everything that I'd mentioned, is all on Saturday the 30th. Sunday is our backup date. So if we have rain, Sunday is our backup date for some of those.
Will the festival be set up on Friday night, or will that just be the concert?
You'll see set up on Friday, but the festival will not begin until Saturday.
Okay.
So Friday really is reserved for the Sugar Ray concert at Saxony.
Okay. Anything you want to add about the festival? I mean, it's a new concept. I mean, we had a festival for years now. This concept with a group of new people putting it together. Anything else you want the public to know about it before we move on to something else?
I think you'd mentioned the number of volunteers and people involved, mm-hmm. and that has been extremely impressive. I think we have over 90 volunteers serving on different committees, from parade committees and sponsorship committees and so forth. And it was daunting at first with that number of folks kind of in the planning, but truly remarkable that number of people have dedicated their time and energy and thoughts and creativity. So it's been really amazing, and we're very grateful to have that group. And honestly, we could not have come up with sort of these things that you'll see at the festival without the talent and time and efforts from this committee. So very grateful to them. And I think, again, that's what lends to the spirit of the community through this festival, is having the community involved.
And you've been involved in a new program for reforestation efforts, and you've got the private sector involved. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so for a long time, we have, in Parks and Recreation and Public Works, really thought about how we can plant more trees in our parks. And so we've had some things like the emerald ash borer that took out a lot of ash trees a few years ago. So we've talked about things like creating our own nursery to grow our own trees. We spend an inordinate amount of money on new trees each year. And so we're trying to think, well, do we create a nursery, or how do we do this more efficiently? And so I'd had a conversation with a gentleman named Kyle Hultgren, who's at Purdue here in the Nickel Plate District. And he had a really simple idea, but profound in many ways, and said, hey, we print a lot of paper. Can we plant a tree in a park for every 10,000 pieces of paper that we print? And so he and I had some discussions and really evolved this in partnership with Wasson's Nursery into a program that we call Set Roots. And what it is a challenge, a corporate challenge, where we are challenging businesses and fishers for every 50,000 pieces of paper that they print, that they will commit to plant a tree in Fisher's Parks. And so Wasson's Nursery over on 126th near Olio, they're our partner, so they're committed to all Indiana native species, non-invasive species, and they're great ambassadors for this whole thing. And so Wasson's will plant the trees once we calculate all of our numbers here this fall, and we'll do a big event around planting trees in our parks.
And do you have some firms already committed to this?
We do. Purdue, of course, is committed to it. Oh, gosh, you're going to put me on the spot
here. Well, you don't have to list them all. That's fine. But there are several committed. That's all we need to
sure.
know. Now, we're recording this on May 17th. It will not be posted for a few more days, but so people will be hearing about this after the fact. But on May 18th, you're doing something that you do quite often, so that's why I'm mentioning it. It's called Sunrise Hikes with the Director, and the director would be you. So you've done these before. Tell me what these are all about.
Yeah, the Sunrise Hike is a really simple concept. So once a month, I believe it's the third Friday, if I'm counting right, of each month, I essentially lead a hike in a different park on a Friday morning. And so it's open to the public, but what I really hope that we have are people to come out and just have a very blunt, candid conversation at 6 o'clock in the morning. So a lot of times we'll meet at a coffee shop. Tomorrow morning we will not. We're going to meet here at Holland Park. But it's just a really cool opportunity to get some exercise, get some fresh air to start the day, but just to have an open conversation about what is it that the residents want from their Parks Department. And it's been remarkable. We've seen anywhere from 5 to 20 people come out on the hikes. It's not a very intensive hike, but you can certainly stay and get some extra miles in. But just a great way to engage with the community.
Yeah, 6 a.m. is a good time for a blunt discussion, I guess, if you're going to do that. You already mentioned this before, but one of the great assets in the city, and I wasn't even aware of this when I started this, that Saxony was going to be the center of that big concert. But certainly Saxony Lake and that whole complex, one of the great assets that Fishers has. And as I understand it, the plan is for Saxony Lake to open on May 26th, correct?
That's correct.
Talk a little about how that all works. And I'm curious, do the people, have we ever surveyed whether people who use that beach Are they mostly from Fisher? I know a lot of people who use that lake may not even be from Fishers. Talk about that.
Yeah, so a few things there. So, yeah, you're right. Saturday, May 26th, we'll open up Saxony Beach. We've got a new partnership this year with Edge Adventures. Edge runs Morse Beach up in Cicero and the Kotewi Aerial Adventure for Hamilton County as well. So they're well-versed. They've got operations all over the Midwest. So a really great partner in Edge Adventures. It'll look and feel like it has in the past. Saxony Beach to Fisher's Park, an experience pretty unique to our Fisher's Park system. And so, yeah, opens up May 26th, which coincidentally is my birthday. So just putting that out there for the listeners.
Right.
So we're excited to get that started. But in terms of... I'm getting off from your question.
The one thing that I've heard off and on, even going back to the days when Fishers was a town, is how many people from outside Fishers use Saxony Beach, because it's a very busy place.
It is. So, yeah, last year we had about 20,000 attendees at Saxony Beach, and about two-thirds of those are from out of town.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I say out of town, but probably close by. A lot from Noblesville, a lot from Carmel. But we do see a fair number of people who come up from Indianapolis and from Anderson as well. And one big change that you'll see this year is... Edge Adventures and our partnership with them, we're making a lot of investments into the beach to make it a safer and better experience. So we are raising rates out there this year, and so it will still be free for Fishers residents. For non-residents, the fee will be $5 a person. So still a pretty nominal fee, but raising some funds there to help offset some of the costs.
Yeah, having attended government meetings for several years, I know that the city has a lot of investment there. The city needs to make sure that that's well maintained, and that's not an easy thing to do, to maintain that lake.
Yeah, it's a lot of work from the water quality side to the beach itself. So yeah, we put a lot of focus on that. But I think what you'll see where that park will evolve over time is, and especially in partnership with Edge, is really more amenities out there. So one thing immediately that you'll see this year are concessions on the beach. So if you need a bottle of water, a little bit of food on the beach, Edge will have that sold. But I think in the coming years, you might see cabanas for rent, chairs for rent, those type of things. We've talked about even a sort of an inflatable, I almost think about it like an American Ninja Warrior type course out on the water. So if you're familiar with Morse Beach and the aquatics course, kind of inflatable course they have on the lake there at the beach, something very similar to that that residents can enjoy here in Fishers.
Now, I mentioned my daughter who's going to be married here this year. And she also spent one summer as a camp counselor for the city of Fishers. I think she would tell you today that was a wonderful experience for her to do that one summer. And you have your open house coming up on May 25th. Talk about that.
Yeah, our summer camp open house this year. I think we're doing something a little bit different. I think we're basically throwing a party for families and folks who are getting involved in the summer camp open house. I honestly don't have a ton of details on that at this point. I think we're still kind of formulating that.
But it's for the parents of the children who'll be in the program. That's the basic thing.
And that's correct.
Where's it going to be on May 25th?
That's correct. I don't recall.
Oh, okay.
I think it might be at Saxony as well, but
right.
I don't recall. But you're exactly right. I think that opportunity is for parents of the kids in summer camp to meet our camp counselors. So who are their kids going to be hanging out with this summer? And we've got an awesome staff, and it's always, you know, year after year, kind of a cool opportunity to meet those folks.
You already mentioned volunteers with Spark Fishers, and Dan Domzik runs your entire volunteer program, and you have volunteers in so many different programs. I'm sure it's hard to keep track of it. Where do you have any particular need for volunteers right now for this summer?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Spark Fishers really is our big focus. We are looking for probably about 250 to 300 volunteers needed for Spark Fishers. And so we are recruiting for those volunteers at this moment. Beyond that, our concert series, and as we talked about, because the concerts are in a different location, we have different logistical needs. So parking attendants, we need a lot of parking type of volunteers. And so we've got a great relationship with the Fishers Rotary Club, who park cars for our Tuesday concerts, but looking for a team right now to help park cars at that Sugar Ray concert on June 29th. But beyond that, also for our Amp After Dark show. But beyond that, parking is a little mundane, certainly necessary, but a little shallow in terms of a volunteer opportunity. But we have many, many volunteer opportunities, from things for Eagle Scouts to things for, I guess, maintenance or projects in parks. So one that comes to the top of my mind as we're sitting here is over at a different park at Billericay Park. Mm-hmm. And England, you would recognize the bright red English phone booths, but our English phone booth over at Billericay is a light shade of pink right now. So that's one that's very small, but it kind of takes a village to help maintain the parks. And so we're looking for any help in a variety of different areas. But you're right, Dan Domsick is the guy to connect with for a number of opportunities.
And as you've listened to this, I'm sure you've been hearing the screams. We're still a pretty good, decent distance away from the park, and you can still hear the preschoolers. They have so much fun over there. I want to ask you one last question, just from me. I do remember, was it a year or two ago, it was a very cold morning when you dedicated the swing that's for those with challenges and disabilities. How's that worked out so far? What kind of comments have you received about it?
Yeah, it's been great. So for March Disability Awareness Month in 2017, we dedicated, at the time, it was the first Miracle Alta glider in the state of Indiana. And it's a kind of a unique playground equipment piece that basically creates a gliding or swinging type of motion. So for a child or even an adult in a wheelchair, they can get into this playground component and kind of get that swinging or rocking sensation. The cool thing about it, I think, is that really you could put about 20 adults on it almost. It's really for a family experience. And so we've got a lot of great feedback from other parks departments, from a lot of residents as well, and just making sure that our playgrounds are accessible and inclusive. And so something that we hope to continue in our parks well into the future.
Before we end this up, anything you'd like to add yourself?
Congratulations to you and your daughter and family on the wedding. That's exciting. I think that's about it. Just please stay in touch with us. Follow us on social media, Fishers Parks and Recreation on Facebook, at Fishers Parks on Twitter. Come out for the sunrise hikes. Check us out again on our social media, our fun guide, and connect with us. And we hope to see you in the parks this summer.
I think your estimate last year was 42,000 people participated in some sort of registered activity with your department. And for a city of nearly 90,000, that's a big percentage. And the people who come to the amphitheater or wherever you're going to have the concerts, various places this summer. Last year was what, 135,000? Am I close to that?
We had around over 160,000 at the amphitheater last year. And you're right, about 42,000 registered participants, but a lot of participants and a lot of activities that we do that are not registration based. So last year we had an estimated 300,000 participants in all of our programs and events. But yeah, about 42,000 that were registered.
Tony Elliott, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
My thanks to Tony Elliott for taking some time to talk with me in some very special surroundings at Holland Park. Here's a quick reminder for all of you listening that enjoy movies. Adam Austin and I host a weekly podcast about film. A new podcast is posted each Saturday. The podcast is called Hamilton County Goes to the Movies. It features film reviews and local guests with ties to the film industry. You can find our podcasts at larryandfishers.com, as well as most platforms where podcasts are found, including iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, and Stitcher. This is the Larry and Fishers podcast. My name is Larry Lannon. I write the larryandfishers.com local news blog from Fishers, Indiana, a suburban community northeast of Indianapolis. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again.